Pastor Richard. I have not done this sermon for a long time. So as Pastor Richard said, I'm starting again. I want to talk about a person. I want to show you a glimpse of what this person did. You have two eyeballs. Using them, you look around, and the images of what you see, they are so small, upside down on your retina, in your eyeballs. But you have one coherent mental vision. And when you walk or even run, this mental vision doesn't bounce around. And who is looking at this mental vision? It is your spirit. It is meant for your spirit. On the next slide, this is the person I'm talking about. Jesus the Messiah. Don't technologies pale in comparison to what Jesus did? Pastor Richards started a sermon series on gospel according to Matthew. He invited grace preachers, and he gave me an opportunity. Last week, he gave an introduction to the gospel of Matthew. On the next slide, the sermon series covers three topics: the person, the proclamation, the passion. Today I'm talking about the person, Jesus the Messiah. What is the meaning of Messiah? On the next slide, Messiah in Hebrew means anointed. Christ in Greek means anointed. In Old Testament, the Old Testament talks about the suffering Messiah and the ruling Messiah. Religious leaders during Jesus' time thought there were two messiahs: the suffering Messiah, or simply the prophet, because many prophets suffered; the ruling Messiah, or conquering Messiah, or simply the Messiah. You can see their thinking in the questions they asked John the Baptist in the next slide. John chapter 1, verse 25. They asked John, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, not Elijah, not the prophet?" On the next slide, John the Baptist introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God. This means Jesus came first to suffer. So God sent the forerunner, John the Baptist, to prepare the way for Jesus in the first coming. Elijah will be the forerunner before the second coming of Jesus to prepare the way for Jesus. But the leaders and the people thought the conquering Messiah would come and free them from the Roman Empire and set up his kingdom. John heard what Jesus did and how the leaders and the people reacted to what Jesus did. And John himself was confused. In the next slide, we can see this in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. In essence, John asked Jesus, "Are you the conquering Messiah, or someone else will come after you as a conquering Messiah?" In answering John, Jesus took portions of verses from two different passages in Isaiah, put them together as an answer to him. So Jesus was telling John that he was fulfilling both the roles, the role of the suffering Messiah and the role of the conquering Messiah. In the next slide, the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus being a historical person, we find two genealogies of Jesus in the Gospels. Luke gives the genealogy of Jesus through Mary. Matthew gives the genealogy of Jesus through Joseph. Mary was the cousin of Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah the priest of the tribe of Levi. Joseph was of the tribe of Judah. Through Joseph's genealogy, Jesus is the king. Through Mary's genealogy, Jesus is the priest. Some of you may be interested in your genealogy. You may want to know who your ancestors are, what they did, where they lived. BBC has a documentary series called Who Do You Think You Are? The episodes in the series trace genealogies of some known people, personalities. One of the episodes traces a genealogy right up to the first Adam. Matthew gives the genealogy of Jesus, the last Adam, from Abraham through David the king to Joseph, who adopted Jesus to be his son. Matthew gives an unusual genealogy. In the Bible, genealogy is traced through male line, but Matthew drops few men and adds five women. In the next slide, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, the women are Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, Mary. They are all outsiders. Tamar, a Canaanite, was a widow, but for her protection through deceit, she bore a twin for Judah. Rahab, a Canaanite, who gave up her unprofessional profession because she believed in God. Ruth, a Moabite, was a widow. Because of her faith in God, Boaz, a kinsman, redeemed her. Bathsheba, a Hittite, became David's wife because of David's sins. Mary was found to be with a child by the Holy Spirit before the marriage. This made her to be an outcast in her community. Joseph, too, became an outsider because he did not divorce Mary, but he obeyed God. Even Matthew himself was an outsider. He was a tax collector for Romans, and thus he became an outcast in his community. Yet Jesus chose all these outsiders also to be part of the genealogy, his genealogy. Everyone in his genealogy believed in God. The genealogy of Jesus through Joseph is also the genealogy of the priest of the order of Melchizedek, because Jesus is the priest of the order of Melchizedek. Now, you did not choose your parents. You did not choose your ethnicity. You did not choose where to be born or when to be born. You did not choose your IQ. You did not choose your gender, male or female or defective. You may be an introvert or extrovert. Jesus decided all this for you in this fallen world. Jesus is still in the business of bringing outsiders into his community so that you can have the rest and the joy and peace in his community. In the next slide, Matthew mentions Magi from East in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. God had prepared generations of Magi, Gentile believers, looking for his star for many hundreds of years. When they saw his star, they knew the king was born. They knew where to go when they saw the star. They started the journey, a long journey, to Jerusalem to worship him. By now, God allowed Roman Empire to conquer Babylon, Egypt, and other regions, so people could travel these regions without restrictions. In the next slide, Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. When they saw his star again in Jerusalem, they rejoiced. And the star guided them to the specific house in Bethlehem where Jesus was. Even though Jesus was almost 2 years by now, they worshipped him, gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did they give the gifts of gold, frankincense, and especially myrrh? Myrrh is used to prepare a dead body for burial. Isn't this an unusual gift for the child? They gave him gold because they knew he was the born king. They gave him frankincense because they knew he was the born priest. They gave him myrrh because they knew he was the Lamb of God, the born Savior. They started the long journey. When they started the long journey, did they worry about how to find the born king? Did they worry about missing the born king because of the long journey? Did they worry about how to inform Mary and Joseph to stay put in Bethlehem till they arrived? They trusted in God, and God took care of them. If God has called you out of darkness to Jesus, you will never miss Jesus, whatever happens in your life, provided you obey him. In the next slide, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now, when Magi had left, Joseph had to flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. They had to live in Egypt, a foreign country, for a while. And God delivered them gold, a universal currency, just in time to cover the cost of fleeing to Egypt and the cost of living in Egypt for a while. God created each one of you. He set your circumstances. He set your purpose for your life. Do you think he has not given you what you need for the call? Do you think he has given up on you because you have sinned? God does not want anyone to perish. God created hell not for human beings, but for fallen angels. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but when Peter repented to God, God restored him. Had Judas, who betrayed Jesus, repented to God, would God have saved him? Let me pray in closing. Thank you, Father, for it is you who created each one of us. It is you who have set our circumstances. It is you who set the purpose and the call for each one of us. It is you who have given each one of us all that we need for the journey. You do not abandon any one of us, but you are with each one of us till the end. May each one of us be available to you more, to be a blessing to you and to our neighbors. Amen.